Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, it's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. The final overreaction Monday of the season. And there's a lot to overreact to. There's a lot to react to in a Super Bowl that was hella boring. And then all of a sudden had a classic ending, which is generally how these things go. Bart Scott, how are you feeling about what you saw last night from Patrick Mahomes, from Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs, the dynastic Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, it's never pretty, right? And nobody cares about how you win. They just care, you know, what the final tally is. And at the end of the day, you have to put this Chiefs era in a dynasty conversation, right? Mahomes did what we always become accustomed to Brady doing when we see Brady put his hands down, his head down in between his legs, and things aren't going his way in the first half. When you think about the Super Bowls, and you think about his epic comebacks, you think about him getting right and saying, all right, here we go. And Patrick Mahomes, I think it was no doubt in anybody's mind that when he got the ball that they were going to win the game, which is surprising why some of the decisions that were made were made. And you think about, you know, the Kansas City side, you know, I mean, you look at the leading receiver in the game, you know, former Jet, getting her done. You talk about the game-sealing touchdown, Mecole Hardman, right? You think about what he was able to do. And, you know, you look at, you know, where do they go from here, right? And they have issues and things they have to address. Snead, why not? Why wouldn't you make them the favorite last year? This is the worst team that Patrick Mahomes has ever had. Now this team, minus Tooney, one of the best guards in the game, and you didn't even notice, right? And I think San Francisco did a great job early on, but at the end of the day, when you let the champs hang around and you don't punch them out, that's what happens, right? And they had opportunities to get it done. And, you know, the most disappointing part of the game from this 49ers standpoint was Mahomes gives you a pick early in the third quarter and you punt. And those are the type of things that you can't do. You got to have answers. And, you know, the fact that Tony Romo and everybody in the building knew that on that third down that it was supposed to be some type of pressure, you don't know where it's coming from, but you have to be able to address the pressure. And Brock Purdy, I won't call it chuck and duck, but you got to anticipate that. So I don't know if you have to pump fake early to get the guy to jump and then move out
this.
The way. Like, you have to prepare. Understand, they got you twice on pivotal plays with somebody in your face, being a shorter quarterback, and you didn't have a plan for it. You could have pump faked and moved over. You got to have some type of plan for it. We saw Mahomes with the fake, right? And we saw Purdy a couple of times by time, we're moving around and act like he's throwing the ball and getting the defender to stop so they can get guys open. Those were the pivotal plays. How do you not know that it's going to be some type of pressure coming? You know it's coming from somewhere. And, you know, I don't know why you spread them out. Like, that would have been an opportunity, great opportunity. You got some of the best yak players in all the game to spread them out and just throw a screen and see if they can, you know, tackle in space. You got Deebo Samuels and you have Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, to me, it's going to be controversial. But in my opinion, I think the 49ers, I would move on from Deebo Samuels. And I know people are saying, oh, well, he's this and that. And sometimes when people call him a running back, I think people get, you know, offended because he's so important to them and what he does. But I think what I saw was a lack of – they have two of the same receivers. And if you have McCaffrey as a receiver, they have three of the same receivers. And they don't have anybody that can stretch the football field, somebody that can beat one-on-one. Deebo Samuels is not a quick guy that can create separation. Ayuk is that. So if they had a T. Higgins, if they had a more versatile type of receiver, I think they would be able to fare better. And going forward, the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. And they got to be able to, I think, diversify their receiving core. And the fact that they can't find a way in big games to get Kittle's the ball is also surprising when Travis Kelce can get the ball whenever he wants to.
Not necessarily. It took them the first half. Kelce persona non grata. It was the second half where he really took off, and you knew eventually he'd get involved. You're absolutely right. And Kittle had three targets. And that really blew my mind. Yeah, it blew up my parlay.
No, but he also, you can tell, I told you Uchek was going to be big.
Yep, right? We knew that.
And I told you, like, it was going to be the others, right? If they're going to play you man-to-man, you got to go to the third and fourth guy because those are going to be the matchups that favor you. Right? But, you know, Kittle's was also, I mean, Travis Kelce was also used as a decoy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was drawing a lot of attention. And
on that fourth and one, and for, like, there's so many places to go, and I don't want to jump all over the place. I first want to go back to what you said there. Because what you said was about Deebo Samuel, who pulled his hamstring.
He always...
And he did come back in the game, but you could see he couldn't get separation.
But he never gets separation. He always gets hurt in the big games.
Okay.
And he's making a crap load of money.
So this is bothering you. Okay.
Because,
see, I thought it was more...
No.
Go ahead.
It was apparent to me that Kansas City can just sit at the sticks and squat. And so now it's a bunch of bodies there. They had nobody that could make you pay by going over the top. And so... Kansas City just set everybody in the box and created all these and clogged all the windows up. They had nobody to say, all right, you want to do that like that? Like, Deebo Samuels make CeeDee Lamb money, right?
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb can go vertical,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, Deebo makes money.
Well, he tried to go vertical.
He can't. He's too slow. He's not going to separate from nobody.
Great defensive play.
But he's not running away from anybody.
Yeah.
Right? So last week when they played the Lions and sometimes Charles Johnson, Gardner Johnson was like, bro, you're a running back. You can't run routes. Like, everybody looks at it as hate. But Deebo's a great talent. In my opinion, I don't think he can be your number one. Because all his stuff is running back stuff. So when you get in big games, you need somebody that can beat a number one receiver.
You need a vertical threat.
He didn't beat one-on-one coverage once.
No.
And it wasn't.
And you
just
don't think it was the hamstring?
No, it wasn't just Snead.
Because there was the other one that he missed, that Purdy missed him. Is he threw it, I think, either too far ahead of him. There was something that, or it was broken up another one, where later in the game, after he left with the hamstring, came back in, he ran just across the middle, and there was nothing there. And I got it. You're looking at it from the Samuel, from Deebo, right? I'm looking at it from this.
Because you got to pay Ayuk. See, here's the thing.
Well,
right?
You're going into the business side already.
No. But I'm saying, like, they need a different – Ayuk is a better version of Deebo. He may not be able to do the running back stuff, but he's a better route runner, separation, stuff like that. It looked to me like a team that didn't have any team speed.
Okay, which is amazing because that offense was considered
it's all horizontal.
Yeah.
It's all yak yards.
Right, which is usually speed.
No, that's maneuverability, right? You get in a screen pass, mm-hmm. that's making somebody tackle you in space.
Okay.
You ain't run away from nobody.
Okay.
Right, that's different, like, than blow the top off speed. And it's not... You know, like, Kansas City has Valdez Scantling. That's their speed guy,
yep.
right? He's the guy that if you keep putting everybody at the line of scrimmage at the sticks, they'll just sneak
him deep.
He had
a big catch, yeah,
right,
obviously.
And it's all in deep because mm-hmm. he's a speed guy. That's what he was with Green Bay. I just, you know.
All right, but let me ask you this then, because on the 49ers side of this thing, it's another time where, you know, Kyle Shanahan, they have a lead and they just can't put it away. And you mentioned that play, that third down. Now, remember, they're going down the field and they have an opportunity to take the lead. And they get a 9-yard run from McCaffrey into the red zone.
Yep.
And it's third, it's a second, whatever it was.
And they ran it again.
Because it was a first and like 15 or something. They took a penalty. But McCaffrey gets them up close. Now it's like a
second and four.
They get nothing.
Right.
They go the same exact play with McCaffrey.
Yeah, third and four.
Right tackle, I think, or right guard.
Right side.
And nothing
third
happens.
And yep.
So it's third and four, and you're absolutely right. And that, to me, Bart, as you watch that and he just quit, you see the panic in his face and he just chuck and duck. You said that, and that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh my God, like, it's there. But Jones is just bearing down on him and he just closes his eyes and throws it.
That wasn't Jones?
That
wasn't Jones. That was when the safety had brought a slot blitz.
I thought that was Jones. Okay.
No, that was the third and 15. Oh, that was the third and four. On the right side.
I'm talking
about the one before that was on the left side.
Oh, okay.
Where
I'm talking about
he was throwing it to Jennings, and it was Jennings both times.
Yes.
He was running the slant.
All
he
I'm saying is,
chucked and
okay, well, I thought he did it again.
He did it twice.
The blitz is coming at him, and I'm thinking to myself, like, easier said than done, but the great ones sense it and already pump and get out of it some way.
And that person jumps.
Yeah.
Because they know that the ball's coming
and
hot.
And it buys you enough time, and you could see him just spin and throw with his eyes closed. And I'm going, like, you're playing for the field goal. And that's why you're going to lose.
We'll see it.
We're watching the replay right now.
We'll see it briefly here. That was a great play right there.
That to McCaffrey was a great little play. But that was muscle memory, and McCaffrey did the rest. And that set them up, that run. That was a tough run.
But here it goes.
Here it is. Here it is right here.
Right
you
there,
see
right,
that right there?
Right. He
like,
just
come
threw
on.
It away. That was him throwing away. Like,
why are you throwing? Like, come on.
But hey, see, right here.
He's all over him.
But it doesn't matter. You punt and you go right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that lets you know that they were playing for the field goal. And honestly, clearly, we know that they didn't.
And then the fourth and one, which we'll get to.
But the thing is, we knew that they didn't know the overtime rules.
Well, that's another thing.
That's coaching.
But I just wanted to say this because you brought that up, and then we'll move on to the next topic. Again, if I didn't mention already, you should know the number, 800-919-3776. You know where we're at today. All the Super Bowl stuff to react to, and you certainly can join the conversation with us. But Bart, like, because I also have a Jets angle on this whole thing later. But I'm telling you, man, when we talk about Brock Purdy and the Niners, that's why we say there's levels. And Brock Purdy isn't why they lost.
Right.
But he's also why they didn't win. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the great one in those moments.
We saw on the other side.
There you go. If that's Joe Burrow, if that's, you know, it, maybe even Josh Allen, if that's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, like Josh Allen getting up out of there.
Like there's.
Or you think they're getting out of there.
You can see him. You can sense it. It's just something that makes it levels. And that's why.
I mean, that's 15 incompletions. You look at that's not a great percentage. 15 incompletions. Now, I thought he came in and he had a slow heartbeat. I thought he started the game.
No, he was very good.
I thought he started the game fine. Great. But as the pressure mounted,
yes,
he couldn't.
You
come
needed
up
more
with
than 10-3.
Yeah.
And then 10-6. Like, to me, it felt like the Chiefs couldn't do anything offensively, and the score was only 10-0. Yeah. And I kept saying, like, wait a second.
They'll figure it out. You can't keep taking these punches. Like, and Dan Pacheco gave you a gift back.
Yep. Like, it's 10-3, and you got to be kidding me. Like, this is – I don't want to be that close. Needed to be a big on Mahomes.
Then he throws the pick on the 50,
yeah,
on the 48, and you don't even get a field goal attempt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, penalties.
All right, so there's that. So you're with me then on the Purdy side of this thing, which is in these games –
49ers say they didn't know the overtime.
Yeah, no, we'll get into that. There's plenty to get – we got 3 hours. We got a lot to get to, on this. But and again, we're just clearing the decks, all the calls. We'll get it all part of this. We have no guests. It's just Bart and everything. And we're going to break this whole thing down to a fine powder and also how it does have some impact on the Jets going forward. But I just want to get that part of it away when we're talking about quarterbacks and why the quarterback is so important. Because think about it. You know, Dino and I were talking about this before the show. Think about it, Bart. Name me the last non-star quarterback like that was won a Super Bowl.
Nick Foles.
Yeah, and what play? What did it take? It took a trick play.
It took them being super aggressive and having situational. Like, that last play was situational. That's why you notice Kansas City didn't take a timeout. They just let the pressure come, so they couldn't go out and change personnel.
Okay.
Right? And that's situational football.
So, but Nick Foles wasn't even the starter, though. The point is they were playing with a backup, and then they were running trick plays, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you need that guy. You need that guy.
It's Stafford, Brady, and Mahomes.
Stafford, like, you need that level. That's what you need to win a Super Bowl. It's just reality. And so that's what makes it, when you're in that quarterback search, you got to find him. And Purdy is a great story. But while we're not saying he's the reason they lost, he's also the reason why they didn't win.
Here,
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, here's the bad news, right?
Yep. They got to pay him?
Not yet.
Well, not yet. You still got time.
But it's going to go up. But, like, now the pressure's on. Because Trent Williams is 1 year older. Mm-hmm. He had some some mistakes. The holding penalty and a false start that he never has, right? Mm-hmm. And now you got to say, what the hell are we going to do with Chase Young? We gave up a first-round draft.
Well, it's funny, you called him out. And I think, you know, because who was saying
Whenever you call them out, they always respond.
And you were the one. I don't recall anybody else. You went crazy on him on Get Up.
Yeah.
That went all over the internet. And I remember at halftime, who was it? Was it Boomer or one of them said about him getting called out during the week? And he responded. And I'm like, yeah, say his name. Mm-hmm. It was Bart Scott that called him out because he did play great. He did. He played great.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa was all over the place,
too. They had a great plan. Like, Bosa got greedy a couple times.
How is Fred Warner can't catch Patrick Mahomes, by the way? How is that even physically possible? If you put those two and ran at each other, he tackles them every time. How did he not catch him?
But because you stop and starting. And I thought it was silly for them, that last play that got them down there with Travis Kelce, that long pass, that Warner clearly had outside leverage, so it becomes a foot race.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how they didn't have somebody have him bracketed. Like, this is winning time. You know he's going to go to Kelce. And you just basically made it a clear out route, pick route, and you had outside leverage. Even if you have outside leverage, you never give it up immediately. You slide to outside leverage. He lined up outside, so then Kelce just went underneath, and it was nobody there.
That was a perfect play. And anybody that thought he was handing that ball off on fourth and one in overtime, no chance was he taking the ball out of his hands. He was either going to throw it to Kelce, or he was going to run it, one or the other, and he ran it.
See, that was a you can't be right play.
That's a historic play.
See, that's
historic.
That's a you can't be right play. And honestly, I blame Bosa.
Yeah, I saw
Bosa should have went straight. Like the ball wasn't being handed off to the running back. You got to say that's going. You got to in that situation when you're not blocked, for a reason, and you have to say that that's the time where I'm gonna let the linebacker and the people on that side stop the run.
So
if
true.
They're not blocking me, they're
he
not
took
handed
the bait,
off.
Right?
Yeah, he took the bait. And if he would have just went straight to Mahomes, Mahomes would have had to pull up and try to throw it to Kelce in the flats, and they used it against him.
Yep.
And a couple of times, Bosa played a perfect game. And a couple times he got greedy. One time he went underneath and he gave Mahomes the edge. And that's what it comes down to, moments, right? Because
mm-hmm.
when we talk about the one that Stafford won,
yeah,
Aaron Donald closed the show.
That's right.
And this is the thing: you have four guys.
That's such a great point.
You have four guys. Burrow had his opportunity.
Such a great point.
Now Bosa's a defensive player of the year.
Yep.
You have Armstead, who, listen, everybody on that defensive line is a $20 million guy.
You had Fred Warner. You had all these name brands.
Chris Jones come up to stop the game? Like, he pulled him up. He made every big play when they had wide open stuff.
Such a great point.
And you have $20-something million dollars annually on the D-line. So the bad news.
Get a stop. Right.
The bad news, like, listen, next year when they pay Chase Young, they're going to have $90 million in salary on the D-line.
Yeah.
Not 90 total, 90 annually.
Yeah.
You understand? So,
yes.
And that's what you got?
It's expensive.
No.
And you can't get a – like this whole thing, and I don't know, again, we'll bounce around on this. I don't know how you feel about the coin toss thing.
They got so much rest.
How do you feel about the coin toss thing? Because I think it's irrelevant. I think we're making too much of it because
they're protecting his defense because defense was tired. They had just got off the field. But I'm never conceding
the idea that, what if they get a touchdown? They're not.
No.
I got a great defense and we're going to shut them down.
No. But if they get a touchdown, you still get the ball.
No. That's not my point.
Mm-hmm.
It's you don't want the ball first because of that. And I'm saying I want the ball first because I want to put pressure on them because I believe in my defense. Score first, shut them down, we're out of here.
See, I want the ball second because I want to know what I got to get. Because if I give you the ball first and you kick a field goal, I know I got four downs. It's damn near impossible.
I don't think it matters. I don't.
Yes, it does.
If I believe in my defense, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Why? Because if you match me, now we play sudden death. So I'd rather have the ball after that.
Nah.
The worst thing that's going to happen is you tie me.
No.
I'm not giving up a touchdown.
No, because if Kansas City would have had the ball first on 4th and 1, you think they're going for it on their own 20?
What are you saying?
So they kick a field goal.
No. I don't know what you're saying.
Kansas City had 4th and 1 in their own territory.
Yes.
When Mahomes ran the ball,
yes,
they're on their side. If you got the ball first, they're going to punt, and all you need is a field goal to win. You see what I'm saying? Let's reverse the possessions. Let's reverse the possessions. The one where
you're predetermining now that the same thing happens though. I never believe in that.
But you give yourself more probability to get the football and to be able to know what you need.
I understand that.
Always, if we both get in the ball, like in college, I want to know what I need.
I understand that.
Because now I know I have – it ain't no, punt on 3rd and 4. I got to go. And that determines what my play calls are.
Okay.
When I know I got guaranteed 4 downs, I have to use all 4.
I know – I understand the logic. I understand all that stuff. To me, I don't see it as a just monumental mistake. I don't.
I do.
Because you got to believe in your defense, and I want to have the ball.
But even if you believe in your defense, you want to
control
your,
the game.
Even if you believe in your defense, you put the ass out there first. Because if they get 3 and out, all you need is a field goal to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
So if you if you believe in your defense.
Yeah, I hear you.
I believe in my defense. I'm going to make you go 80.
I hear you.
And then guess what? If you punt, if I stop and you punt, do I have to go 80?
I hear you.
No, I may only have to go 60.
Well, I got a field goal and I made you go 80. So what's the difference?
Huh?
I said I got a field goal. I had the lead and I made you go 80. What's the difference? Now yeah, I got a lead.
Yeah, but Mahomes had to go for it on fourth down.
Again, I had the lead. I had you at fourth down. I had the game. I got to get a stop. You just told me I have $90 million worth of players on my defense. I got to get a stop. I have the lead. I'm in control. And my best part of my team is now on the field.
But
I need to believe in that. I'm sorry. I need to believe in that.
But here's the thing. When you're playing man-to-man, who don't you have a person for?
The quarterback.
Who made the play?
I know.
So listen, you're telling me
in that situation, guys aren't like 15 has this ball. 15 is not giving up this ball in this moment.
They didn't anticipate it.
You have to think that.
They thought maybe
it's like saying Kobe's going to pass on the final shot of the game.
Or LeBron's going to pass.
Mm.
Or George's going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that a couple times.
Yeah, we have.
So it does happen.
Yep.
And so like that's the thing, right? Like you would,
but in football, he is not giving that ball.
You would have had to do something.
It's him or Kelsey, no one else.
See, in my opinion, see if you change the coordinators, Spagnuolo would have blitzed. He would have did something. He would have held the blitz. They played it straight up. You have to do something to make them make a quick decision. So just imagine that instance, right?
Mm.
Imagine that instance. They bring a corner blitz. Ain't brought a corner blitz all game. Bosa goes down. Yep. Patrick Mahomes keeps it, and the corner tackles Mahomes.
Right.
Game over.
Could be.
Situationally, they didn't have anything that they had held up to be able to do something.
If you're bringing a corner blitz, you're telling me that Mahomes wouldn't have seen that and just threw it up to Hardman or whoever it was.
It was Travis Kelce running to the thing. But you mean to tell – and then the safety would have been inverted down. But when you do that – What if you run it at him with a fast player that's making him make a decision quickly, and then he
similar
jumps.
To what they did to Purdy,
right? And he jumps and tips the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Game over.
Yeah, game over.
See what I'm saying?
No, it's crazy.
And Mahomes like, oh,
it's crazy.
Whoa, because like you sitting here, he's reading Nick Bosa. Right?
Here's the horseshoe up their ass thing. Just like the Patriots before them, the Chiefs always have that play, and the dynasty teams, it happens. There's always that play that you go, it went their way. It was the punt hitting the foot, right? It's just the stupid little things that
are. But
how does that happen?
But the golden horseshoe up your butt is Pacheco never fumbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mahomes never throws an interception.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so,
or never gets sacked.
Guy
never gets sacked.
Right.
You were sacking the hell out of him.
So it went both ways. Something bad's going to happen to everybody.
Yeah, but it's who takes advantage
of it. But what I'm saying is, look at the coordinators. One had two special plays for situational football.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth and one.
Yep.
Steve Wilks had no special play.
Nope. That's a great point.
He had no special play.
And he had a good game. Wilks had a good game until then.
Everybody knew.
Got Al Fox.
Everybody out there knew. Tony Romo.
Yep.
Everybody knew. Well, Spags, it may not look like it, but trust me. Trust me. It's a blitz coming. Right? It may not look like it.
Yeah.
So if everybody knew that, how does not Kyle Shanahan know that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, there's something else about the Niners that they didn't know, which is blowing everybody's mind right now. And that is the overtime rules. It's incredible. Wait till you hear what the players were saying after the game. Never mind the decisions that were made. Never mind all that stuff. When you hear that the Niners were ill-prepared, actually, the way the game ended too, I think Hardman also had no idea that the game was – like, it was the most bizarre ending to the game, of course.
Now he had to know it was
but
over.
Wait till when Mahomes ran over to him going, yeah!
He was just stuck like,
What happened?
It's stuck. It went to me.
So lots to get to. We have your calls, 800-919-3776. An amazing thing that was said after the game by a couple of very smart players, by the way, about what the Niners didn't know about overtime. And how about halftime? We got to talk about Ursher and what we saw there. And I have a new meme now to send to Bart when I need to get his attention.
The hate is real.
Alicia Keys, everybody. So we got your calls and
did
more.
Did you superimpose that image? Confirm what I was talking about?
I have not spent time on that yet.
Okay.
So we'll get to everything coming up. Stay with us. Lots to get to. But I have a question for you. Do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness? Of course you do. Watch your bank account grow with extra pep in your step. Catch Joviaitis, side effect for not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, growing checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So another NFL season in the books, and the Kansas City Chiefs once again Super Bowl champs. Plenty to go through in the game, including the decision by Kyle Shanahan to receive the ball in overtime.
This is something we talked about with none of us have a ton of experience of it, but we went through all the analytics and talked to those guys, and we just thought it'd be better. We wanted the ball third. But both teams matched and scored. We wanted to be the ones who had the chance to go win and got that field goal, so we knew we had to hold them to at least a field goal. And if we did, then we felt it was in our hands after that.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The only thing it was missing
was,
in my opinion,
who wasn't there?
I mean, Justin Bieber.
Bieber, huh?
Like, Usher is the one who kind of put Justin Bieber out, and maybe because Justin Bieber had the...
Well, Bieber was at the NHL All-Star weekend. Like, he put in a lot of time there, so he probably just wanted to shut it down.
Bieber had the frozen face, right? He had the... where he couldn't perform for a while. His mm-hmm. whole right side of his face was frozen. But also, he's been, like, really deepening to his faith, so maybe he didn't want to do... that even though it's R&B, it's not like he's sitting up there cussing or talking about but him and Bieber, Usher kind of discovered Bieber,
right?
I believe.
How about the one glove little salute to his idol MJ?
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. First he came, I can hear that on the mic, it's super loud. He had the two gloves, and I was like, is he gonna go one glove? And he did. He ended up going the one glove, and you're like, you knew what that was about.
I mean, but this is what I hate.
But we had Alicia Keys.
Yep.
She was unbelievable. I mean, at least she looked great.
Yes.
The voice was a little shaky at the beginning, but
she's never been a
Super
singer.
Bowl performance. Yeah. You know, you're gonna be a little shaky.
That's
Ludacris comes out, and it was like, even my 8-year-old was like, that's Ludacris. Like, it was hilarious.
Yeah. That's Fast and Furious. He raps.
Yep. And her
rocked
with the guitar, just absolutely rocked it. Lil Jon and Will I Am, that was a good. Good show.
See, but this
really
was
good show.
That's what I hate. I hate the negative. Like when if it's
what
not
was negative,
man. If you look at the comments, all this and that. Like,
well, you're always going to get people.
If it's not your genre,
yeah.
Like let's keep.
But they're smart.
Let's keep the type of music out of here. Like, nobody said anything when The Who was doing it. Nobody, like,
Rolling Stones.
Right. Like,
of course, Aerosmith performed the one time.
If you have a hit and you put your hits out there, I'm for it, right? Right. It may not be your style. You may not understand the A-Town Stump. You might not understand or knew any of Usher's songs. If that's not
your style. Who doesn't? Come on.
I'm saying,
you know at least one Usher song, if not two or three.
I'm just saying, like, the people that decide to hate for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is whack. The best thing about it was Lil Jon. Like, come on, man. He gave you a catalog. And this guy's been one of the
greatness.
Most. His residency in Vegas has been one of the biggest residencies mm-hmm. that Vegas has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he played those hits, came out with the roller skates, the fact that he changed a full outfit, he didn't cover it up. He put on the blue thing, covered from the white. Like,
that was pretty good.
The fact that he did all that and gave you the people that he's done and the hits that's made him an icon. Like, come on, man. Like, let's with the hate.
I have no problem with it. And I think it's smart. What the Super Bowl does is...
Taylor Swift next year?
It has to be. You have,
I'm trying to think, who
to me, your audience, your largest part of your audience is going to be probably between 30 and 60 years old, right? The biggest, I'm talking about like your locked in audience.
Yep.
And so you want to cater to them. And that to me is you go generational.
Yeah.
And so Usher is somebody that from anybody from 30 to 60, Usher impacts
you.
You have it, right? There's something that, so I don't have a problem with it. And I thought, like, so anybody young that doesn't like it because it's an older singer with older music, don't worry about it. Your time's coming. And anybody older that doesn't like that style of music, sorry, your time is past.
Exactly.
Like, that's just reality.
We gave you Prince. We gave you Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. We gave you people when you were high. We gave you The Who. We gave you Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
I think we gave you the Beach Boys before.
Damn. I don't remember the Beach Boys.
Like, come on, man. Like, they'll never give
you two, right? Wasn't you two?
Yeah.
Last year was
it was Rihanna.
Rihanna, which
and she revealed
she was
pregnant.
But we had Lady Gaga.
We gave you Beyonce.
Yep, that's
Gaga
right.
Gaga sang the Star Spangled Banner when it happened because I was there. That's when I did.
I thought Gaga did a halftime. Maybe
did
I'm
she?
Wrong.
I know.
She did a halftime.
Oh, she did.
Right? Yeah, she had
done
a halftime.
And she did. She sang the national anthem because when I did 50, it was Beyonce.
How about Reba McEntire singing the national anthem and just like, I mean, if you took the under, I think that hit, right? Because she just got through it. She got through it.
I didn't even watch the
she was good.
I was heating up my nachos. But
did it bother you that during Lift Every Voice, people just walking around? Like, isn't that supposed to be
no respect.
Special?
Everybody else, take your hat off and all that. Like, all right, whatever.
People like milling about.
We get it. Yeah, it's only Black History Week because
it's month, but okay.
Yeah, we get the shortest month, so it's not.
But
really
it wasn't
a month.
Just white people that were walking around. Everybody was walking around.
I know. They probably half of the people are in there. Probably didn't even know it was the national anthem, the African American national anthem.
Mm.
But I tell you what, somebody who would do it justice, but they'll never give it to him.
What?
Chris Brown. No, nobody.
You know there's no chance of that happening.
Nobody.
The NFL can't. The NFL, with all their issues with domestic violence, and we're going to do that?
20 years ago, but I got it.
Come on, stop it.
No, I got it. Listen, I got it. What I'm saying is nobody has a live show and more hits. You can argue that Chris Brown
You're being myopic right now?
No, I'm just
you
saying.
Are.
No,
here's why.
I've just seen.
Because there's a larger portion of the population that doesn't really know his music. And I'm being honest with you.
It's impossible.
No, that is true.
If people know Usher's, they know Chris Brown.
Not as much.
Let me tell you something.
I'm telling you not as much.
Chris Brown started singing at 16.
I know.
The same age as Usher.
I know.
So he has 20 years in the game. Nobody has sold more albums than him. He sold more albums than
I'm
Usher.
I'm telling you.
He has more number ones, I guarantee you, to Usher.
He does not have the same mainstream. You're being myopic. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling you this so you understand it. I wish you would just accept it.
What I'm saying is he's the same.
You know me. I've been open. I'm an open book.
I know. But
you know that.
What I'm saying is he's the same as Usher. He's the same as Rihanna.
Nobody's arguing talent. I'm telling you about appeal, widespread appeal. It's not there.
I'm not.
It's not there.
I'm telling you. He is the same as far as hits. I understand that. I'm talking about number ones.
Culturally, maybe, but mainstream, I'm talking about widespread appeal.
Okay.
Not there.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you accept what I'm offering you here? You're acting like I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm just telling you that Chris
I'm on the other side of the fence and I'm saying to you, no, most people don't really know it. know of it, but don't know it.
I guarantee you way more white people know and Europeans and stuff know. Remember, this is international. We had it in Brazil.
Yeah, but this is the American football.
I know. But what I'm saying is we had a huge viewing audience in Brazil, Australia, Europe.
Yep.
Breezy's big in all those places.
Okay. All right.
Tom, can you look up Breezy's number ones and sales, and we'll do a cost
analysis.
No,
before we do anything, Tom, name one Chris Brown song, top of your head, now.
Look at me now.
Told you. I'm telling you.
Name another one.
This dude got crumping.
Yeah, times three.
He got crumping. He got, man, like.
He's Googling his song so he can play it later, that's all.
Telling you, like, in his show, he's closer to Michael Jackson than Usher is.
I understand.
Like, but because it's past, we'll never get it. So we'll take Drake next year for 300, Jay-Z. Because Jay-Z's on that committee. So we'll take
you think
Drake.
You think Drake's next?
Drake's outdone everybody. Like, he's past Michael Jackson as far as sales, I believe.
Sales?
Yeah, streams and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's...
Appeal?
Everybody loves Drake. Everybody loves Drake because he's like the non-threatening hip-hop guy.
Hey,
like, it's not.
No. It's not about threatening. It's more about appeal.
No, his stuff is global.
I know.
Like you say, the people that's already passed is passed. Just to think of the people that he gonna bring up. He gonna bring Rihanna, Reezy.
Yep.
He gonna bring everybody's favorite person there.
Yeah, I know. That's the smart thing to do, right? You kind of like you kind of touch on a lot of different areas, and everybody kind of gets involved in it. That the best ones have that widespread appeal. You know what I mean? It's like
Drake.
I can play any genre for you.
Drake is the most commercial rapper or entertainer there is out there. He he's backed by Apple.
Mm-hmm. Which is a big part of the halftime show. You're absolutely right. That'd be an interesting one. 800-919-3776. I mean, again, it was a good halftime show, was it not?
Yeah,
that's what matters.
Yeah,
it was good.
I liked it.
Commercial-wise, what'd you think of the commercials?
I turned the channel on the commercials. I hate commercials.
What'd you turn the channel to? What were you turning it to? The Puppy Bowl?
I was watching Chicago PD.
Just randomly? Just put on Chicago PD?
That's always something good to watch. You know what I'm saying?
How long were the commercial breaks that you would just step away from a football game? Like, you didn't just get up and do something, like maybe, you know, get some food or whatever. Like, you just changed the channel in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm a channel surfer, man.
You're not even remotely interested in some of the commercials, although this year they weren't as great. There was a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger was good.
Yeah.
Did you see that one at all?
You can't say R.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Neighbor.
Yeah.
Neighbor.
Like a good neighbor.
Yeah.
No, cut. No, it's neighbor.
And then they brought
That's what I said.
And then they brought in Danny DeVito.
Which is great at the end.
I saw a couple of them. You know what? I kind of turned a little bit to see what there was going on in Telemundo. Because they have their own.
To see that broadcast?
Yeah.
Because
they got him on the sideline. But it's funny. They had his ass in a corner. Like, he was down.
What?
Like, everybody else reporting from, like, main part. They had him in front of the 49ers cheerleader. I'm like,
not a terrible spot.
Yeah, but I'm like, damn.
It could be worse. Did you see
Randy's suit? Colossal miss. That's garbage, Randy. Like, come on, man.
What is that supposed to be?
It looks like Tennessee orange with a black.
Yeah.
Tie. I'm like, bro.
We got to get to.
I
Rex,
hope you
by
weren't
the way.
Saying you was gonna kill him with that one.
We got to get to Rex too. Man, that's a lot to do, and we're sitting here talking about commercials. The last thing on the commercials.
Rex responded.
We'll get on Rex. Dumb Kings. Did you see that one?
Only one I remember.
Ben Affleck and J-Lo, right? Ben Affleck kind of crashes one of her recording sessions with like a boy bandish kind of thing. And Tom Brady's in it. It's hysterical. Matt Damon plays like that deadpan embarrassed for his friend thing.
Oh, okay.
Like it's a really, really funny bit.
I missed that one. T-Mobile was decent with the Aquaman.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. That dude, like, has the black dude in there.
He's funny as hell.
Yeah, but
those two should do a movie. They're really funny.
He has survived. Like,
he's been around forever.
I know.
Even when he was young.
Yeah, he was, like, goofy. He's been bald since, like, the 90s, man. Like, this dude had cowlicks, like, when he was 18. Like, bruh. I forget his name, but, like, he's done all these little movies and commercials.
They were in Scrubs together.
Yeah,
they were so funny.
But he's never been super big. He's always super goofy.
But he's good, though. And he's funny. His timing is good. He's funny.
All I remember is his teeth. Because he always got, like, when he's smiling and laughing, all you see is them damn teeth.
Oh, because he's, that's his character. But he plays it well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
All right, so again, this and more on the Super Bowl, 800-919-3776. We probably should get the calls because we've got lots of them, but we've got plenty of time with you. Like I said, we cleared the decks. There's no guests. There's no nothing. We will have audio files because there's a lot of audio to get to as well, but there's a Jets angle to get to. There's a Rex Ryan angle. There's many different angles to play for you as well, so just stay with us throughout it, but your calls are definitely next. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So you found the one song.
Nah, man.
800-919-3776. Let's get to the calls, shall we?
He's a better dancer than Usher, too.
Yeah, let's.
He's the best dancer.
Dwayne in New Jersey starts us off. What's up, Dwayne?
How you doing? This is Wayne.
Oh, Wayne,
okay. I just want to ask two questions.
Mm-hmm.
On the radio, I listen to it all day. I listen to you guys from 12 to 3. Nobody said that on that punt that hit the guy in the heel. Nobody said that's an important part of the game.
It is, but it's one of those unfortunate parts of the game.
I brought up the horseshoe up their ass thing, and I said when the punt hits his foot, that's one of those moments.
I heard.
Those happen, and you're like, "Oh my God! Like, what are the odds of that?"
You're the first guy to say that. I mean, I was like Stephen A. Smith. I was listening. They didn't say nothing about that. They were talking about Mahomes and Purdy.
Yeah,
but you want to know why? Because they got it back, right? Like, you know, just like the McCaffrey. You had two turnovers by both teams, right? And yeah, that one directly led to a touchdown. That's one of those things that you can't do nothing about that. Like, that's one of those, you know, it's a short punt. We get the Peter call. The guy had to try and field it. That was smart on his part.
But you could just, like, that's one of those where you're like, are you kidding me?
But when you're paying a team like that, that was one of those ones you always have to overcome.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And to get that back.
Doesn't that guy have to pay attention where the ball is?
What happened
on that, Bart?
So you have to understand.
You've done special teams.
This guy's blocking, right? It's a short punt. So what we have is a Peter call, but you're blocking for the return. You don't know where the ball is because you're trying to block the punt, and then you have an assigned guy. He was blocking his guy. He was engaged. You have no idea, and it's hard to hear Peter, like when you running and you trying to block
and
the
it's
guy.
The Super Bowl, right?
Right. You trying to block a guy. Like, that's one of those unfortunate things, right? Mm-hmm. The ball's short. You expect the punter. Just think, this guy had punted the ball 60 yards down the field. Now he gets a 30-yard, a 35-yard,
right.
And it just so happens to hit the guy in the heel. It's really nothing you can do other than hear the Peter call. It's just one of those unfortunate incidents.
Wayne. Yeah, no, it's a good point by Wayne, though. It's like it is one of those moments in the game that just reminds you again that
this
there,
is crazy
there
though.
Are,
nobody says nothing about that though too.
Well, everybody's talked about that. Kelce going up to
if they'd lost, that would like he almost knocked him on his ass.
Well, they joked about it afterwards, saying that
you can joke about it, but he that was a lack of respect for your coach. You don't show your coach up like that.
Well, it was definitely something that, you know, has happened, you know, they say behind closed doors. But here's Andy Reid talking about it.
Yeah, he caught me off balance. I wasn't watching. Cheap shot, but that's all right. He did good. He was really coming over just to go, just put me in, I'll score, you know, so that's really what it was. Well, I love that. I mean, it's not the first time, so I appreciate him.
So, again, like Andy Reid just knows his players, and his players know him, and the player knows I can come up to him and say things. But at that moment, it did look like that Kelce was getting rattled by the fact that he wasn't getting targeted. Ball, yeah. He wasn't. They weren't even looking
sometimes
his way.
Sometimes you got to be a decoy,
and he was frustrated by it.
I really feel bad for Greenlaw, man. Like, he goes down. He goes down as Achilles. One of those players that hurt themselves by like being too hype.
He was hype. Yeah,
and that's what it was. He jumped up and he took off, right, and that puts more stress on the Achilles than anything, man. And we've seen that happen with Gramatica jumping up and blowing his knee out.
Yep.
Like,
but he didn't really jump that high. It was just
he went. It's the step back. Like, and I tell everybody, like, after 30, black athletes have a higher chance in tearing their Achilles because most of us have flat feet. We have no arch. And we have high calves. So high calves creates high, like, tension on Achilles. My last 6 years, they were concerned that I would pull my Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to always, when I was on the sideline or whatever, I was always stretching my Achilles and stretching my calves. Like, look at guys like Julio Jones, because you're pushing off with such torque.
Yep.
And if it's tight, it's easy to pop. Look at Kobe, you look at Damon Woody, you look at Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You look at half the players this year, J.K. Dobbins, Aaron Rodgers. They got the torque put on his because somebody dropped their weight.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, right? Look at the kid from Miami that tore his Achilles with the Jets, just pushing off. Jalen Phillips, right? African Americans have a higher chance of pulling those because we have very high calves, and our calves and hamstrings get extremely tight.
It was again, just to see that, you felt terrible for him.
Because it's going to hurt him going next season, too.
Yeah.
And the 49ers find themselves in a tough spot, man. Next year is win or go home, because they're going to have to – they got to pay Ayuk. I don't know how they can. They have to pay Chase Young. They may have to graduate some people. Like, remember Buckner, they traded because they couldn't keep paying everybody on their D-line. Man, they got some people to pay, man.
Well, the thing is now about them, it's the window. It's funny how with the Chiefs,
yes,
it's
1 year.
You feel like, all right,
they're in their second window.
They've got a bunch of years to go here. That defense is young. It is. Yeah. It's a young defense.
No. Defense is young, but now they got to pay Snead, and Snead may go get paid. Why would I care? I got 3 Super Bowls. What the hell I'm sitting here for and not going to get the bag?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not about to sit here and get no discount.
Yeah. And then there was the moment that we haven't talked about yet, which is the kiss.
I watch no after game stuff.
Nothing?
Nah, I hate it. It's like
super. It's fun. You know, and we'll get to the call. 800-919-3776. We got a lot of calls to get to. But what do you think of this? And I saw a former NHL player did a whole thing on Twitter about this afterwards. He said that it bothered him that in the post celebration, it's a podium. Not the whole team's not up there. It's a select few people. And you're separate. Like, it's like you're immediately, you can't celebrate your championship with your team because they're now clear the field, put up this podium. Let's get all this stuff going on. And it almost feels like there's just like no moment. And then he says, and we've seen this, the NHL, you win your Stanley Cup, the commissioner comes out and he awards the cup to the player, to the captain. The team comes together, they take a picture. The interviews that everybody else comes later. The celebration is then you with your teammates, each one gets to hold the trophy. We watch you celebrate for at least 15 minutes before all the other stuff, which includes presentations, everything else happens. You are separated from your players, and it kind of takes away from the spontaneous moment of you're the champs.
Well, not to be funny, but nobody watches hockey.
Irrelevant. It's the fact that it is incredible, though, when you watch those moments. It is true.
You see
you hand the trophy. So the captain gets it.
I got
it. Then he hands it to the next player, and each player has a story that you want to talk about.
You got 60 players in football, man.
You got 30 on an NHL
team.
60. 25.
You have 60 plus staff. Hey, first of all.
Well, you're not going to. I'm not talking about that.
How can you build a podium big enough for all those
You don't build
dudes
a podium.
You need the aerial shots. So
you have one. It's called that whatever that thing is that's up on all the wires.
You want to put people up there, man. Like, and like the players, you saw Valdez Scanlon. He was able to go get a flag, go spike stuff up. It's players celebrating in different areas. Their family comes out, they're celebrating with their family. I don't have a problem with the way they go about business. Like, listen, we know it's an ultimate team game, but like, come on, man. The stars get up there, they're the ones that's gonna talk. But you just wanna be in a photo op?
It's not about that. It's not about the photo op. So not about that.
You're celebrating with your team. You're hugging and all that type of stuff for a while before it's erected, right? You still got Mahomes got to go shake the opposing quarterback's hand, Andy Reid, opposing coach. And then the guys are running around for like 5-10 minutes getting it out.
When I read it, I never thought about it till I read what he said. And I just thought
to myself. People back there outside of the game.
Well, look at all the barriers up. Like, it's crazy.
But that's the thing. You got twice as many camera people and reporters there than in NHL.
You're right.
You got way more people you got to try and control.
Well, and you also have a rink that is enclosed with boards that no one can get on that ice. I completely understand. I just thought it's like it is something to think about that we really never get to see you celebrate.
You got refs
that much.
You got chain gang people. Look how many people that's on the field. Yep. You got cameraman there. You got all that type of stuff there. You got nothing on the rink but the players.
Mm-hmm. You are disagreeing everything with me today. Like, it's amazing. We disagree on everything.
I can't believe you get Bad Bunny's the number one entertainer out there.
I don't believe that. What did you think of the final call, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo?
Mahomes flings it. It's there! Hartman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
Was he talking the whole time over him on that?
Here we go, Jim. Game's over.
Talking the whole time. And then how about the fact that Mahomes said that Mecole Hardman didn't know the game was over?
I threw a touchdown to this dude at the end of the game. And he looked at me. I said, and he had no idea. I said, dude, we just won the Super Bowl. And he blacked out. He had no idea. I was like, bro, because he didn't even celebrate at the beginning. I'm like, what are we doing?
Well, after you were talking about, okay, it's time to celebrate now.
Like, it's so funny. He caught the ball and just turned around. Like, dude, you just want, like, what are we doing? Like, the game's over. Well, and Mahomes had to run up to him going, won.
Well, maybe he didn't know the overtime rules either.
Well,
he probably didn't pay attention in the meetings like the 49ers.
Yeah, you got to hear that. We'll get to that. We've got something about Rex that also needs to be played here. We got so much to get to. Your calls as well at 800-919-3776 about halftime, about the commercials, about the game, and about the fact that the AFC for the next X amount of years. You still got to get through Kansas City. You got to be able to beat Mahomes, and you got to be able to beat Andy Reid. And that
Joe Burrow's
is
coming back, baby.
Not easy to do. Stay with us for hour number two. It's Barton Hahn. I have more for you, by the way. So, again, do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness? Watch your bank account grow with an extra pep in your step. Catch Joviaitis, a side effect of not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, growing checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, it was one of the great things about Michael Jordan, not just all of his championships, but the list of great players he prevented from winning one themselves. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said, we're seeing that again with Patrick Mahomes.
Guys that Mahomes has kept from winning the Super Bowl. Shanahan must just detest him. Josh Allen has to hate this guy. Lamar Jackson. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and he's maybe, possibly at this point, just started to hit the prime of his career.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
No.
Nowhere. I mean, at some point, Kelsey's not going to be there.
Right.
Reed, at some point, not going to be there. But I'm sure they're going to add to the offensive side of the ball.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.